Hey everyone, welcome back to season one, episode three of This Is Us called Kyle. Kyle, we are going to talk about, will Kevin make it to New York? What does Kate actually do? And who the heck is Kyle? Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Feel it, people. Feel it.
Time after time.
Didn't know you were going to get some singers up in here. For This Is Us, we are so excited to be back after a week off. We are going to talk about so much. Season 1, Episode 3, called Kyle. I'm one of your hosts, Whitney Lane. You can follow me at Southern_Wit, and I'm joined with these lovely co-hosts.
Hi, everybody. I'm Erica Shannon, and you can follow me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby.
Hi, guys. I'm JJ Jurgens, and you can follow me on Twitter at JJ Jurgens.
We're missing Amber tonight. She's very sad she can't be here, but don't worry. She'll be back next week, and, you know, she can get hating on Kevin once again. Let's be honest.
Oh, she would have hated him tonight.
Let's start with him. We might as well dig into it, because I actually almost got fully on board with her. I was like, who the heck is this selfish dude? I'm so over him.
I agree with you. We were big defenders of him early on, and I thought, come on, give him a break. He stood up for what he, believed in. But now tonight, no. He just had a pity party, and he redeemed himself at the end.
He did, thank goodness, because had he not done that, I literally would have been like, wow, he has grown up his whole life just being the selfish one, never being able to, like, stand up for his younger brother or his adopted brother, and always taking advantage of his sister. Thank goodness it had some, like, there was more to it, because honestly, I was like, this dude, I cannot listen to him call her and tell her to do something else. Call her 10 times in a row to do his, like, work. I was like, does she just willingly jump for him?
That's what caught me when he called, and on Kate's phone it said 10 missed calls. I was like, okay, that's excessive. That means that something's wrong, like an emergency. If you call somebody that many times, somebody's in the hospital or something. Like, but it goes back to them being in the crib together. In the bassinet together. And I think it's like a codependency thing that they have going on that they
him
can't break out of.
Especially, I thought, because I was just like, my goodness, dude, like, let her live her life. What are you doing here? Yeah. And you're, like, so insecure. All you're doing is, like, trying to get validation from her right now.
Yeah,
is
what it felt and from everybody, too. It's like even calling insane Elaine, you know, who is just basically,
booty call. Hey, girl, come on over. I'm going to move to New York.
But then doesn't even have the, like, can't even get her out of his house, and he's locked himself in his own closet with a mini bar.
I literally was like, he is on my last nerve this episode.
Now, in the beginning of the episode, when he walked into the kitchen, I guess I must have been looking down. Did he come in? Did he stay in the house overnight?
I missed that too. I can tell which room he was coming from.
He just popped up.
Yeah. Well, so that was the night after the big party, right? So they were hungover. I don't know. He did seem like he had spent the night that night because he had decided, but I'm sure he had no idea. He definitely missed Toby sitting there and just right to, let me talk about myself. Okay, what are we going to do about this? Let's move. We're going to do this. Like, just assuming that she was going to do whatever. And I was like, she's your sister. She has a life too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness we found out the reason, which took us, as many people have mentioned, 3 episodes to find out what it is that Kate does with her life.
Yeah, we've all been wondering what her job was, why so much. And then one complaint people have been making about the show was that all, with her, it is just all about her weight and not about what she does or what might be other things going on in her life. So at least we got a few answers about that tonight.
So Kate is Kevin's personal assistant. Mm-hmm. Okay, that, like, it's, made it a little bit, okay, I don't know if I don't know, it's very hard, because you actually hear about that a lot in the industry of, like, family working together. It's a way to, like, support both of you. Obviously, they're very close. As Kate said, like, when something happened, she broke her arm or something, and he felt it 10 miles away. So you can tell that they have this strong connection as you see them as babies, like, not wanting to be apart. But it is interesting. Like, I was still like, is that? I don't know what made me hate Kevin until I realized. And then I was like, okay, he's paying her.
Yeah.
You know, so it made it a little different.
And that made sense to me, too. Because, like you said, being out here, you see a lot of people in the music industry, whatever industry, they to have the person closest to you be in charge of that makes sense. Because you trust them, and you think they're going to look out for your career, you know, give you the right insight of what might be good for you.
Unconditional love for him because it's her brother. So it makes sense to me, especially in this industry where you don't know that you can necessarily trust everybody. And you want someone who you can like have ideas with and talk about all this and figure out what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. So that made more sense because I was like, golly, she literally is at his beck and call. Yeah. But I get it now because she's being paid to do it.
Also makes sense as to why, though, she does have more issues because her whole life has just been focused on him then. She doesn't have her own career or her own, like, things to feel confident about or to be involved in. It's all focused around him.
That's what I was going to say. And shout out TL for her article that she wrote talking mm-hmm. specifically about Kate and how her storyline seemed to only be about her weight. But I do want to take another avenue on that. I think it was done intentionally because, as we saw in this episode, Kate has started to break away and do her own thing. So I think they might have introduced Kate with the intention of saying she's only about this one thing, and now we can start to see her grow and really come into her own and become her own person.
I think it's true. Mm-hmm. I think that's something we see in her personality. She seems to have a one-track mind in terms of, I've got to focus on losing weight, or I've got to focus on my brother. Mm-hmm. It's never like focusing on her and making herself happy, mm-hmm. which is exactly why Toby comes into this. And literally, I wrote, where are all the Tobys in the world?
Gosh, because we are all in love.
Yeah.
Well, what a man! Yeah. What a man, though.
I'm going to deviate from that a little bit. I was a huge fan of mm-hmm. his over the past couple episodes, but when he was in the kitchen with Kevin, and Kevin ate the pancake, and Kevin was like, is she making you eat this? And he said, I'm only in this for the sex.
No, he said, I'm trying to have sex, man. Mm-hmm.
Then after everything after that, I was like, well, is he doing it out of the kindness of his heart, or is he doing it just for...
No, I don't think so. And I think because they already preview what's going to happen next week and you see an ex-wife of Toby's, I don't think that in any way he's doing... I think he's doing it because he genuinely loves her and he sees her life is consumed by Kevin and his life. And him just giving her... He sees, like, he can build her up and lift her up by one little thing and showing, you're good at something. Like, this mm-hmm. is good. I don't know. I love the dude. And I'm like, for him to realize her vulnerabilities and her fears and, like, her focus is never on her, on herself, mm-hmm. to, like, kind of give her a little push in the right direction. And that's love.
Yeah, and also just in how he understands her, like you said, you know, he didn't go and put her in front of a group of, you know, at a bar or a public place or somewhere where she would feel, like, scared and intimidated and it could have the reverse, you know, effect. Mm-hmm. The fact that he knew how this could go and put her in just the most unbelievable situation ever.
And I love how he with little Dolly prepared her for it. He was like, half of them are going to be asleep, the other half or the other quarter is not going to remember. Some have been through World War II, so
this,
you know,
is not bad at all. But that's the best part about him is he, like, has known her for how many weeks now, and he can see, like, this isn't going to work with her, but she has a talent to share, and I want her to be able to be who she is and not be focused on, and he sees it. She's focused on her weight constantly. She's focused on her brother, so he's finding a way to kind of build up her self-esteem and make her see her worth and her value, which is amazing, and what, you know, I don't know, he's just so good.
But what we talked about, too, in the last couple of weeks, he's also not a pushover. You know, I also like that he doesn't just, he's not all about just getting the sex and being nicey-nice so he gets what he wants. Like, when she treats him or doesn't, you know, like said, it's always going to be about her brother first. I mean, that was the wrong answer to say at that point, you know, that he's always going to be the priority.
Like, brainwashed a little bit, though, of your family, of always having each other. And I get that relationship, but lady, you've got to, like, open yourself up to more, unless that's all you expect out of life, which is what it is at this point. She's slowly seeing, like, he's peeling back her layers and getting under there, which is great, but shoot.
And it's also not like he even said, you know, I don't do this for everyone. It's not like this is his game, and he's not one of those guys that has all these, knows what a girl likes and is doing the flowers or doing the things that lead him to think he will get laid or he will get, like, he's, you know, he likes her, he loves her, and that's why he's doing this. So sweet.
And I mean, his attention. Yes. Like, it took him just overhearing her in the bathroom, I didn't know that Chrissy Metz was a singer. Mm-hmm. So, kudos, because that was beautiful. But it was like, he instantly was like, I know what I can do next for her to pull her closer to herself.
Yeah.
And further, not further away from, I don't want to make it seem like further away from Kevin, but, you know, into herself.
Just more about her own life and kind of living that. And I think that is why they framed her as kind of this one-dimensional character only focused on weight, because this episode, there's a lot less focus on that. Mm-hmm. she always brings it back there. Well, I just need to focus on my weight instead of, you know, Toby, can you believe what he did? And he said, and then Kevin finally being like, wait, you picked up the phone? So thank gosh, that's where I was like, thank goodness, Kevin, you redeemed yourself a little bit, because I thought you were literally going to bring it back to you and be selfish again and expect her to up and leave and say, forget him. But you saw that this is good for her. Look at what he did to, like, build her up. It's her turn, kind of. Mm-hmm. And he saw it. I'm really glad about that. Yep. I really am.
Yeah, me too. And he just said the goodbye over the phone because he knew that, you know, that wouldn't happen if he did it in person. And, yeah, he redeemed himself.
I love that he was like, a little bit, at least. You didn't answer the phone. Good. That means you're probably having sex. And even he said it kind of weird, like, so I'm talking about my sister having sex. Yeah.
But I want her to be happy. Yeah. I also love that Toby shut up real quick as soon as she pulled up the condom. I was like, oh, Lord. Yeah. She's, like, trying to fight back, as you said, not a pushover, fighting back. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I did like the fact that he showed up. Because of course. He could have very easily been, like, grumpy and pouty and stayed home and been like, I don't want to talk to you.
Who he is. He shows up. Like, that's who he is as a guy. I also love this one line, which I think can speak to all of us, because that's what the show does. And it, like, gets you in a pull, tugs your heartstrings.
We were all,
I thought, am I going to, like, break down and cry over every little moment here? But when Kevin is leaving her a voicemail, he said, you know, we keep talking about it. If we keep talking about it, we'll talk ourselves out of it. And I think that's so true in life in general, of, like, we all have these fears that hold us back, me included. I mean, I've talked to people about this many, many times, but you have these fears that hold you back, and you keep talking about it. What should you do? And getting other people's opinions, and if you just don't do it, you probably won't.
Yeah.
Right.
So I love that he hopped on that plane knowing nothing, not even how to pack up his own clothes, and he went for it. So it makes me like him more. Because of that, although I hated him at the beginning. So Amber, we'll have to see what Amber says about Kevin. Hopefully he redeems himself a bit. She'll explain next week, I'm sure. Oh, gosh. That's a good story.
Yeah, it is.
Also, when he lands and she wakes up, she's like, he's okay. I mean, I'm not a twin, so I have no idea what that would feel like. But you've heard a lot of stories about people who are, and, like, just being able to, like, know that something's going on.
But now, did Toby ask when Kate popped up like that? Did Toby ask, are you okay?
I think he was like, didn't he say something like, what's going on? Or maybe he said, are you okay?
I feel like he said, are you okay? And her first response was, he's okay. And then she said, I'm okay. And then she went back to sleep. I just thought that was interesting, how there's still that tie there. And I guess it's something that will probably never go away.
No, and I kind of like it now that it's kind of, you see that they're moving on and doing their own thing, because I think it's a really cool relationship, like how much they love each other.
Yeah.
To be able to, because I did think Kevin was so selfish and, you know, Kate was so focused on one thing about her life. It was like, it's good to see them kind of care so much about each other. So I hope they continue to build each other up and, you know, other people come in along the way, like Toby.
Yeah.
He's the best. Too. Like, the best. Where are all them Tobys at? Come on, boys. Stepping on up. So, should we talk about Randall?
Yeah.
Randall and William. That's a whole lot of good backstory that we got. Finally understanding, you know. I mean, I think we all kind of had a little grudge against William, learning about him and thinking he was on drugs and he gave up his son. It's like, why, you know? What really happened? And you see that it came out of love, as he shared.
And it was funny because when we first hear his name, we all three were quickly like, wait, that's not his that's not his name. We're like, oh. So we kind of knew we were going to find a lot about the story here tonight. So, and we did.
They always give you a little something, right? Why would you name something Kyle? It's like, nobody's named Kyle. That's the episode. Who could that be? And it's really interesting that they were naming the triplets all after K's Dr. K, who's like maybe one of my other favorites, because I'm like, you man of wisdom. Like, thank goodness for him in Jack and Rebecca's life.
Yeah.
He was like such a good guy to like share his story and then be there for Jack and like tell him kind of how he should handle certain situations, knowing that he's been through it himself.
There is not a bad, like, connection in this whole group. Like, they are all such good actors, and they all have such different and real relationships that it's just so fun. Because even just seeing, you know, his conversation with Jack when he lets, you know, says he'll watch the babies and he can go take a nap and stuff. It's just, and him understanding that what, you know, she lost a baby and he's got a...
And he's lost a baby. Yeah. Dr. K did, you know, and he gets that. So it was interesting to kind of see that. I think he's a great person in Jack's life as well, to kind of step up and be a good dad, which we see he does. And he's very worried about his wife and what's going on because she's not connecting with Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and I wrote down while Jack and Dr. K were talking, I was like, oh, it's another Dr. K special.
He's good.
He just comes in right when Jack needs him, and he says the words that he needs to hear and is able to propel him forward, which I love.
The first episode with the sourest of lemons, that was just like, ugh. Wisdom to all of us, anybody watching. It's like, you know what? You're right. So he always has this little kind of, you know, lines that'll get you feeling like life. Okay, good one. I need to listen to you, Dr. K.
And then we knew while he was there, too, that she was out tracking him down. So you
think that's why she wasn't connecting at first to the baby, is because as she left, she thought she saw him, and she thought, this is the dad.
Oh, I was like, what's happening?
Who's talking?
Somebody's trying to tell us their opinion. I was trying to keep the live chat open. And I started playing the video.
So I love it. But yes, do you think that's part of why she wasn't connecting with them? She kept kind of forcing it, knowing that she saw his real dad?
I think also part of it was she was afraid to get close. Like, afraid
after
that
she
if
lost
she...
another one?
Exactly. And afraid if she let this new one into her heart and loved him like the rest, that this, at any point, the dad could come in and want the child back, and then she would have to deal with another loss. And
so, yeah, a whole another layer of, like, real-life stuff with adoptive parents, adoptive kids. You know, they have to think about those things. Because you never know. Like, as she said, you're his blood. Mm-hmm. Are you going to come back and take him away? Like, I have to know that you're not. So investing all of that energy and time and love into somebody and not knowing or fearing that he may want to go find his real parents, you know, that's hard. I can't even imagine.
I did enjoy seeing William's backstory, though, on the bus and him meeting Randall's birth mother and even seeing them decline without seeing them actually do drugs. In the simplicity of his handwriting declining was very subtle to show that, okay, things have been progressing in a not so great light, and then it goes to where the mother is not with him on the bus, but now he has Randall with him. I just liked seeing that origin.
Yeah, I agree
with you.
That point.
Did he say that the mom had passed? Do we remember that from the first, when he finally said, I dropped you off at a fire station, had she passed away?
Yes.
Yeah.
From drugs, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I believe so.
And I also think it gives us insight into Randall as a human as well. You can see that William was very smart, and he was a poet, and he was writing, and, like, you know, he had the typewriter in his apartment, or, like, it shows, like, a little glimpse of, like, Randall, you got some of this from your dad because you are such a smart, intelligent guy. It was good to see that. And to see he didn't want to leave him behind. But he knew that was best because of his life, and he was on drugs and those sorts of things. He knew it'd be better.
Right.
Little tidbit about the poet. I tried to quickly research while we were watching tonight. Dudley Randall's most popular poem is called The Ballad of Birmingham, and it's about a mother that loses her child. And the child, it's written about a 1963 bombing at a church that Martin Luther King Jr. belonged to in Birmingham, and a little girl asks her mom if she can go to one of the riots, and the mom says no, and then through the Freedom Marches, the mom says no, but tells her she can go down to the church, so the mom feels like she's going to be safe because she goes to the church, and then there was an explosion at the church, and the daughter dies, and the mom just finds her little white shoes in the aftermath of the explosion. So interesting that poet's most is also about losing a child.
You know, that scene's actually in the film Selma about Martin Luther King Jr., that actual scene where the church is bombed and the kids are, you see the girls playing, and then, oh, that's so sad. Yeah. But interesting that those stories tie together in such an interesting way. And he would read that to Randall's mom, and then, obviously Randall, it's one of his favorite poets, as you see, we glimpse back to his own home now in his office, you see how many books he has from Dudley Randall.
That was very nice by the writers to tie that in.
It's all very connected. Yeah. You know, they think that's through in every way.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I love poetry, and I didn't know of this story, so I was like, there's got to be a good story behind this one.
That was
like,
smart.
Yeah, the writing in the show is incredible.
So interesting when we see in present day Rebecca meeting William, and we kind of knew... I think, didn't you kind of gauge, she's like, oh, let me meet him. I didn't know at first, but as soon as she walked in, I was like, that girl knows something.
And she was like, when Randall sat her down to tell her, she was like, okay, I'm going upstairs. Yes. What is he? Okay.
Yeah.
And it was just, she was off. And Randall was like, I don't think it's right now, but okay. Yeah. Well, I guess you're my mom, so I just got to do what you say. So let's go. And from that moment where she was like, can you give us a moment alone?
Mm-hmm.
We all knew that there was something more to it. So that was exciting to see.
Really, it stemmed down to her not wanting Randall to find out that she had kept her birth dad from him all those years. Because I'm sure that would be a whole nother thing. I'm sure he asked about it as he grew up. And, you know, he obviously took the time to find his birth dad now that he's at whatever age, 36. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting that she's like, I don't pull us apart. And she was just making sure. She was being like the protective mama bear there. I don't know.
They tricked us, you and me, because we both thought at the very end, because he's so smart, Randall's so smart, that we thought he picked up on the fact that, you know, that it was pretty interesting that she went up there right away and had such a talk, and we think the way he reads people, so we thought, oh no, I thought, oh, he's turning against her already, right.
Well,
like the
he
mom.
Asked William, he said, how did you meet my mama? And I was like, oh, he knows.
Yep.
He knows Rebecca, but he actually meant his real mama. Yeah. See, that was confusing.
Because
he still calls Rebecca mommy.
Yeah.
Right. So but I'm that like, came after the conversation that he had with Beth, where Beth basically broke it down to him. You're afraid that the girls are going to get too attached to him. You're afraid that the girls are going to fall in love with him. The girls will be devastated. All the while, she's really meaning you have to accept for yourself that you want to get to know him. You want to find out more about him. You're on limited time. You better get to it.
As you would have known, as he ran after, as he drove after him when he walked away, you can tell he's yelling at him. He's saying, I want to go do this. You're going to do this. It's like, it takes him a bit, but then he admits to himself, well, no, this means something to me. I want to get to know my real dad. Mm-hmm. And I love that we're kind of seeing that, because I feel like it's just another life lesson of, like, life's too short to kind of waste that time. You know, you live once. If there is someone you want to know or something you want to do, like, it seems... this is showing you better do it, because you don't know how much time you have left with anyone or whatever it may be to kind of go after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this story. And I also like Beth. I wrote, you go, girl, because that woman knows that husband and she knows how to, you know, come at him and say the right things where it makes him think, you know. I don't know. I just love that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And even that moment where he snapped on her. And he was like, you're going to love me enough to give me that one, right? And she was like, yeah. you know me very well.
Wait, can we talk about when he was picking William up? Yes. Because I thought that was the funniest thing. Yeah. When he's like, hi, white neighbors.
Yeah.
I was like, I died. Because they're like standing out there, what's going on? Who's yelling in the streets? And he's like, hi, white neighbors from your friendly black neighborhood black man.
Yeah.
He's funny. You know, you get these little things from him where you're like, he's smart, he's competent, he's serious, but he's funny too.
Yeah,
he's got it all.
He's like, I know this looks kind of bad.
It was so funny. Okay. Hi, white neighbors, under his breath. I was like, that is just too good. It's just too good. Oh, but I do love that relationship a lot. And now we see that he's, you know, obviously William, it was sad news because the cancer had metastasized already. But he came in saying, I want to tell the girls who you are. So he really is making the most of it. And I had no doubt that he would, because I think he seems like that type of guy. But, man, talk about him and Miguel. I also like that. Give a little shade there.
Yeah.
A little shade
to Miguel.
Yeah, they
dropped a little bomb on, there's going to be more to tell about that riff.
Well, because, hello, we all don't like Miguel at all.
No,
uh-uh. It's like, what happened to Jack? That's the one we love. But when he said, thank you for dropping by, what was it?
Like, unexpected again or something. Like, yeah.
Well, thank you for dropping by. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you got it. Saying everything we all want to say to Miguel.
So it's going to be so interesting to see how that relationship formed. Because I feel like, really quickly, I feel like Rebecca and Randall have a very specific bond. Like, of course, mothers with their children have a bond. But I think because that bond had to be created between Rebecca and Randall, it's a little tighter in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he is super protective of her. So it's going to be interesting to see how Miguel comes into the picture, because I don't think Randall, to me, Randall's not a fan of it.
Right. Well, I hope I'm hating on Miguel for the right reasons, because I swear if Jack does something stupid, I'm going to be so annoyed, but I just love Jack so much. Like, that's a whole... This story is... The show's so good with the love in general, and Jack and Rebecca have a good love, and you can see they are tired, they have triplets, but they love each other. They'll escape to Mexico together. She wouldn't leave them behind. Like, they're just so cute.
Yeah. And the show is so good about, like, dropping things like that get you guessing or get you thinking, you know, because then I thought, no, earlier I was like, no, it had to be something like tragic and, you know, because I just feel like Jack didn't do anything wrong, you know, like I feel like she's still wearing the necklace like we found out the last time. Yeah. And then when he drops the bomb about coming by unexpected again, like I wonder, then that makes me almost think, was he, did something start drifting and then he start like them start having an affair where maybe he did catch them at the house like unexpected or, you know, as a kid or I don't know. It's like but I love it that you can't guess right away. It just makes you keep like in this way. You want more and
which
more
is
more.
Also life in general. We can't guess what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So the show reminds you of that and of like living in the moment. Mm-hmm. It's so good about that kind of stuff. It's like these overarching themes that mean so much in life. Because you can't guess what's going to happen next on the show, just like we don't know what's going to happen next in our lives.
Yeah.
Might as well live them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also, like, two sides to every story, and there's different things going on that cause the different relationships or whatever might happen or decisions people make. There's a lot of other factors coming in.
The split judgments that you make at first, like we did with Kevin. It was like, oh, and then wait a second, you see. So, yeah. It teaches you don't be so quick to judge on this show because you don't know what could happen. So maybe Miguel's a really good human, but I'm still going to believe in Jack because that relationship's too good.
And to also try to see things through other people's eyes, too, and understand what they're going through in their life at the time or, you know, what the stresses they might be under or dealing with.
It's so true. Oh, what a show.
Mm-hmm. Good
stuff. Did we cover it all?
Let's see.
I love it. I mean, it was just so good. I think we did.
Thing I wrote was, going back to the connection between Randall and Rebecca, when Rebecca and Jack left the hospital with the babies, I'm pretty sure she was carrying Randall.
Yes.
Right?
I think so.
Okay. And that's what started me off on their connection. Which
I think had to happen because William had to see, okay, Randall, that's his new mom. Like, I think they had to have that connection as well. So she was like, oh, he's, you know, she just knew, too. Like, immediately, that's the dad.
And that instant probably made her instantly protective, too, as she has him in her arms, and the dad's there right across, like, threatening, like, just getting out of the hospital. Like, she's already going through all this, like, holy crap,
turmoil. I'm having
three babies to raise right now. Like, yeah,
it's scary. I wonder why she was trying to call him back then. Was she going to say?
I think she wanted to know, is this his dad? Okay. I think she knew intuitively, as women sometimes do, but I think she wanted to have that conversation.
Yeah.
But I do think it happened how it should, with her doing it on her own. And what's interesting is I don't know that Jack ever finds out that William, that she knows Randall's biological father.
Oh, I think you're right. I think you're both right on
as
that one.
She hid finding him from Jack.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh.
Which is going to be really interesting.
And who knows? That could be a whole other reason that caused a rift between them. Who knows? Who knows? So many things. But that's marriage. That can't literally derail their marriage or something's wrong. We don't know what's wrong. Something's going on. Okay, should we get to some news and gossip?
Okay. Yes. I really only had one tidbit for tonight, but Mandy Moore was on The Talk today, and she did reveal that in episode 5, we're going to hear her sing, and her songs will be brought more into it, and they will reveal that she has singing in her past as a character as well.
Which so makes
we'll
so much sense. Kate got the gene, the singing gene.
I wrote it.
This is good.
Is that your prediction? I wrote, will Rebecca sing?
There you go. Well, there we go. Good stuff.
And that's all I got. All
the tidbits. Okay.
Just one.
On to the predictions.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Yes. Well, that already, like, predicts a lot of things. I wonder what... Oh, go on. Who has a specific one? They just come to me.
I kind of already said mine, but I'll just say it again. I do think Randall finds out that I think Miguel and his mom were cheating, having an
you
affair.
Do.
I do.
I still want to believe that if she's wearing that necklace, that it had to be something, and then they came together after that. That love's just so strong to me between them. And I think that we've already seen these ups and downs with them, and I think we see more because even when the kids are 8 years old and he's drinking too much or whatever's going on, like, I don't know. I pray not. Okay,
yeah,
but I don't know.
Like,
I can't predict
it. That would be a slap in the face to Miguel. A little bit, if she kept wearing it.
That's true.
I think he had to, you know.
Maybe it's just when she was maybe it's just that he was there more often when she was upset by the drinking, and maybe he was consoling her a little. Maybe he's a little too friendly. Mm-hmm. They're too much, you know?
See,
maybe
I think he started to come in there closer to when something happened to Jack. Because later. I feel like the kids were going to be older. I feel like they're going to get to the point where we see a little bit of Jack and Rebecca back by themselves. Like, I really hope we could see the kids in their college years. And we see those two together and, like, back to those two. And I just think something tragic has to happen. I would be really disappointed.
And do you think we're going to know it all this season?
Well, we have 15 more episodes now.
I don't know.
There's
I don't know. We're going to know a little bit more. We're going to keep getting those hints, but you know every season these writers are smart. They're going to be able to change it up however they see fit. I don't have any predictions. I just feel like everything comes to me and I have to tweet them out. I don't know.
I have a few, but they're more so questions.
Okay.
I'm interested to see Jack and Rebecca's parents for some reason, just because of the relationship that Jack and Dr. K have. I want to see Jack's interaction with his parents and if there's something similar there, or because it's interesting that Jack and Rebecca are doing this on their own, because I feel like in the 70s, early 80s, there was a lot more family.
Interesting. I'm going to predict that Jack doesn't have parents.
Okay.
I think Rebecca does, but I'm going to predict that he's chosen to be this good man. He tries really hard on his own, and he's, like, built himself up. But he does take, like, I don't know, who knows? But that would be interesting to see what happens there.
And then
the grandparents.
The only other one, which is kind of a prediction, is I think it's going to devastate Randall when William passes. I think they're going to get close enough that it's really going to affect him. And maybe if something did happen to Jack in that way, it might bring back all those feelings.
And when he finds out that his mom hid that from him for all his life, because somehow in a letter or something that is going to be revealed, in a poem that he reads and he reads into by William, it's going to be revealed that he wishes he could have been a part of it, and he had hoped to and he had asked to be, and she chose to not let that happen.
I think we'll definitely get that this season, and I think it might either be right before, like right after he dies.
And I think it has to happen, because otherwise, why would she make a big deal about it? Why would that be such a fear?
Yep.
So that'll be something.
Her biggest fear is going to come true.
Oh, goodness. Until next week. So much good stuff. Thanks for tuning in. Where can they find you? Keep up with the This Is Us combo.
You go first.
You guys can follow me at JJ Juergens on Twitter, JJ.Juergens on Instagram, and make lots of comments this week, because we love to go on there and read what you guys are thinking and what your predictions might be.
Thanks to everybody that was in the chat. Sorry I wasn't able to call anybody out, but you can follow me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby, and I'm Erica Shannon.
Thanks so much, y'all. You can follow me at Southern_Wit. Keep that convo going. JJ and I won't be here next week, but we'll be back right after that, and we will be tweeting along, so we cannot wait until the next episode.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.